So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A little Tom Petty bringing us back. I was enjoying that, Landini. I'm excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. Paul, what's up, dude? How you doing?
JP, how are you? Yes, it's this town is just coming off a Subway Series, Mets, Yankees. Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and we're talking Commanders, Giants football, right? It's never, it's never ever the NFL curtain never goes down, does it?
Dude, I mean, you couldn't be more correct. Obviously, you guys are buzzing up there with the Knicks in the Conference Finals and everything, but I know that the NFL still draws the most eyeballs, and I imagine, even with everything going on, the Knicks, Yanks, Mets, all of it, when you start talking about Jackson Dart, everybody's paying a lot of attention. How did the rookie – I've covered these. I know rookie minicamp is a joke, but how'd he look and how excited are people up there?
I mean, it's a joke and it's not a joke, right? I mean, you know, guys don't have to look good.
Right,
even
sure.
Though we understand what the parameters are and what the competition is and, you know, the 7-on-7s and no rush. But, you know, with all that, Jackson Dart looks the part. He sounds the part up at the microphone. He's got a real charisma to him. He throws the ball well. He looked quite good, you know, quite good. More than what he looked like, it's what he did. He's a real leader type, you know, 3-year starter at Ole Miss. And, you know, I've been told that the guys on defense liked him just as much as the guys on offense. You know, he's a real team builder, roster builder kind of guy. So he had a bunch of these rookies, most of whom are not going to be on the team. They were at the Giants rookie camp as, you know, undrafted tryouts who were going to be there for 2 days and then move on and not be signed. And he was at the hotel with them and going through, you know, what the reads were, what they were doing for that next practice. So, you know, that's all good stuff as far as I'm preparing him for what comes next.
It now adding Dart, I thought the Giants had a really good draft. I like Scadaboo. It's impossible not to like Abdul Carter as a prospect. Adding Dart, though, after bringing in Jameis and after bringing in Russ, this thing seems a little all over the place. What do you think the plan is at quarterback for the Giants?
Well, I know what the plan is. The plan is that Russ is the starter, Jameis is the backup, and Jackson Dart is the number three developmental rookie quarterback who will not play right away. Now, plans are made to be broken, right?
Right.
you know. Look, you have to understand, you have to remember that when this whole thing started, right, when free agency comes before the draft, so the Giants had Tommy DeVito on their roster and nobody else at quarterback. So they knew they needed to bring in two or three quarterbacks. They had no idea if they could get a quarterback in the draft. They had the third pick. They loved Cam Ward. They were 99.9% sure they couldn't get Cam Ward. That turned out to be true. There was a time way back when at the start of the process where they liked Shedeur Sanders at number two, or they liked the idea of maybe taking him at number two. And, you know, through the process, that was not going to be a evaluation that stood up. And then they looked at Jackson Dart and the other quarterbacks, and they said, you know what? We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know who the Browns are going to take it to. The Browns could take a quarterback, right? So the Giants looked and said, we need to get quarterbacks in here. We need to get a guy who we feel comfortable if we had to start a game tomorrow. That's what we'll do. So they bring in Russell Wilson, who's 36 years old and is clearly on the downside after his great years in Seattle, but they feel is better than anything they had last year. Jameis Winston is a $4 million a year backup. So that's not a big deal. And they were thrilled to get Jackson Dart to be able to trade up into, you know, you never know if you're going to be able to trade up. You don't know. You need
right.
A trade partner to trade up. So, and they weren't taking him at three and bypassing Abdul Carter. So, you know, do they think that Jackson Dart is the same prospect that Cam Ward is? And if they drafted Cam Ward, would he be in line to start right away? Yes, I would think so. They don't look at him as that kind of prospect right now. They don't look at him as what Jaden Daniels was last year at this time, which is why they wanted to trade up to get him, and they knew they couldn't do that. So, but that's okay, right? He doesn't have to play right away. So he'll sit, he'll learn, and then we'll see how the season goes. And does he sit for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 17 games? We'll see. You know, I don't think he's going to sit for 17 games. We'll see how the team's doing, how Russell Wilson's doing, and all that other stuff.
Talking with Paul Schwartz here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can follow Paul at NewYorkPost_Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. I always enjoy looking at your Twitter profile because you have just this giant picture of what looks to be a very good pizza on there. I can't help but wonder. You mentioned, you know, Dart won't get the call right away. Washington opens the season down here against the Giants, and then they don't play again until week 15 in New York, middle of December. Doesn't that feel – I just have a feeling that game is Jackson Dart's debut.
After the bye, the first game after the bye?
I guess it's your bye. I don't know when the Giants bye
is. Yeah, it is. I mean, that's a good speculation because they have a bye week 14,
oh,
as
wow.
you know, right?
Right.
You know, okay, we have a bye, we get a whole week, we get to indoctrinate the rookie even more so. And then, you know, at a home game, Washington's good, but you want to have a rookie start at home. You know what, if you look at the schedule, it is a minefield. I mean, there's no home game at MetLife Stadium this year where the Giants will be favored right now. There's probably no road game they'll be favored right now. You know, I don't think they'd be favored in New Orleans right now. Against the Patriots and Foxborough? I don't think so. The home schedule is bananas, how hard it is. Well, look, you have to think of it. If Jackson Dart is not starting till week 15, right, that means that Russell Wilson has been okay, and they've been okay and winning a little bit and fringing and maybe, kind of on the fringe of playoff contention in some sort.
Yeah.
Or else it could be earlier. I mean, look, if they're 1-7, you know, I don't know how much they're going to keep on going to Russell Wilson. And I don't think there's a great appetite to say, okay, you know, we got to get Jameis on the field. It's going to be, do we have to play Jameis or do we think Jackson Dart is ready? You know, I remember Eli Manning was a much bigger prospect than Jackson Dart was, right? In 2004.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was Eli Manning, right? He was Peyton's brother and Archie's son, number one pick in the draft by the Chargers. They made a trade to get him, right? And he didn't start till after 9 games. They signed Kurt Warner, who was not considered to be, you know, he was past his prime, just like Russell Wilson was. And Kurt Warner lasted 9 games. They were 5-2. They lost 2 games. They were 5-4. And they said, okay, that's enough. We've seen enough of Kurt Warner. We got to start this, you know, the motor on Eli's engine here. And Eli was not ready, and he lost his first 6 starts. And he, you know, the team and the veterans like Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan and Amani Toomer, they were ticked. They're like, why are you putting this rookie in when we're 5-4 and we're fighting for something? And we go straight downhill. Eli won his last start against the Cowboys. And the next year he won double digits and they made the playoffs. So, look, you have to trust Brian Daboll here to say when is the timing right on this. But I would say if Jackson Dart doesn't start until the Commanders week 15, that means they've had a decent enough season to keep them off the field before that.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, most of my career, the Giants have been a really well-run organization and Washington wasn't, and that's kind of flipped. Not to say they're not a well-run organization, but just nothing seems to go right up there for, I don't know, the post-Eli era, perhaps, or the post-Coughlin era. And I have seen how the splinters start with front offices and coaches and how one tries to blame the other when things start to go poorly. And I don't know that that's happening in New York, but, like, I do find it interesting drafting the quarterback after bringing in the veteran. Like, there's no way Russ was thrilled they take Dart. And maybe that's just where he is at this stage. But how do you think Daboll's going to handle Russ Wilson and all that comes with that? Because it's not, you know, Russ Wilson is a lot of things. And I think certainly by the end of the time in Seattle, He had worn some people out. The Denver thing went sideways right away with Sean Payton. And it's depending on who you believe or what you hear from Pittsburgh last year, he had kind of worn out his welcome by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question this is a downside situation, right? I mean, look, they wanted to get Matthew Stafford in a trade, and they thought they had him, and then the Rams and Stafford kind of came to an agreement, and there was no trade. Giants were willing to give Stafford $50 million a year for 2 years, okay? 50 and 50. I mean, and, you know, and Stafford is every bit as old as Russell Wilson, has more left in the tank, we think. Then after that, they pivoted to who? Aaron Rodgers. They were serious about signing Aaron Rodgers. Dead serious. He would have been their quarterback for a year or two at age 41. They were desperate to bring in a quarterback. Russ was next on the list, and they couldn't wait anymore for Aaron Rodgers, and they went to Russ. Now, I know they signed Jameis Winston first, but they really had an offer into Russ for like 2 weeks before that, gotcha. And it just took a while to get that. So they were going to sign Russ and then sign Jameis Winston. Winston happened to agree first, so it wasn't ass backwards like we're signing Winston and now we're getting Russ. It was reversed.
That's good to know because yeah. It looked from afar kind of ass backwards.
Yeah, no, you're right, right. Look, you're signing Jameis, and okay, so Jameis is your starter? What's going on here? They're definitely going to draft a rookie now. Well, they always wanted to draft a rookie, but they didn't want Jameis to start. You know, they wanted Russell Wilson to start. Look, one-year deal, right? It's a one-year deal, $10.5 million. If he hits all these incentives and he does great and he stays healthy and the teams win, he can get another $10 million. So it's not an expensive contract. It's 1 year, and that's what it is. You know, I mean, Russ knew. Russ came in with his eyes open. You know, he's been around. It wasn't like, look, if I sign with you, you can't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds. That's and it wasn't the case. At this point, Russ, it's either the Giants or who, right? The Giants gave him a starting spot. If you sign with us, you're starting. Plenty of teams will assign Russ, right? You know, you want to sign and be, you know, be a backup. Okay, you know, for, you know, $5 million, you can be our backup. He wants to start. He is going to start. He's a quirky guy, but you know, in the building, he's a hard worker. I've been told, and you know, we all know this. He's not going to get in trouble. He's got, you know, he's on Celebrity Row for these Knick games with his, you know, sure. Beautiful model wife, you know, and actress, you know, singer wife, and his kids, and he wears his sunglasses, and he's kind of socially awkward at times, and you know, he starts his press conference with us and talks for, you know, 15 minutes nonstop, dropping names left and right. I mean, that's the danger Russ, right? That's the Russell Wilson experience. But
right.
We'll see. Look, if he stays healthy and he plays okay, he'll be okay. But this is not a long-term marriage here by any stretch.
No, for sure. And I just wonder how a couple bad games go between Russ and the pressure of New York. How safe is Daboll's spot? It seems to me Shane is in the driver's seat of safety, and Daboll is in, like, if it's a motorcycle, like, Shane's driving it, and Daboll's in the little sidecar thing.
Well, I mean, I will tell you that there really was no, you know, throughout the whole thing last year, and we didn't know if anyone was coming back. Look, they won 3 games, right? And they won 6 games before that. So, right. You know, nobody is sitting there and saying, you know, you know, double mortgaging my house because I'm never going to leave. I mean, you know, there were some issues there. But I can tell you that Joe Shane was never, you know, John Mara was never really like, hell with this. I'm pulling a plug on everybody. They're all both leaving. He's very committed to Joe Shane. He sees him in the building every day. He thinks he's a very good young executive. And I think there were a few more questions about Brian Daboll. But John Mara was never like, I'm firing this guy. And then he had to be talked out of it or anything like that. He didn't want to fire either of them. And ultimately, you know, down the stretch of the season there, you know, that last week, and then he, you know, told him after the season, look, you're going to come back. So they weren't like close to being fired. Daboll, there was some consideration about making the change. Shane, not really. Look, you have to remember these guys are friends. I mean, I know, you know, it's business and all this other stuff, but this was not an arranged marriage. You know, Shane came in and it was, you know, the breadcrumbs were just laid out there for him to hire Daboll, and he did, you know, after a process. But Daboll was, you know, always going to be the guy to beat, and no one could beat him. So they're tight. I mean, they're a tight two-man, you know, two-team unit here. They really are. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're joined at the hip and one guy will be here forever. You know, they'll both be here forever. But – They get along. I mean, I've talked to these guys on the record and off the record, and they get along. They really do. Now, is there some questioning of what this guy does and what that guy does? Yes. Is there questioning of what I do and my editors and my other guys? Yes. You and your station manager.
Sure.
Not talking at school. I'm sure there's some of that. You know, yeah. What I mean? Everyone thinks they know better. But those guys are tight. So, I mean, I would think that unlike a lot of you know, coach GM duos, these guys are tighter than most, and they are there for each other. So, and look, you saw the Giants put out a video when they made that trade for Dart. I mean, Dable was like, he puts his hand on Shane's shoulder and says, "Good job, Joseph." I've never heard anyone call Joe Shane Joseph. You know, and they know each other. He said, "Good job, Joseph." So this could be a lifeline for both these guys, you know, eventually with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Shane and Dable were kind of a package deal coming from Buffalo and everything. So I get it that they are close. Just a couple last things. I had heard that the Giants getting Stafford was like very real. And like very close to really happening. Is that consistent with what you've heard?
Yeah. If he was going to be traded, I mean, the Giants received permission from the Rams before we all knew about it to talk to Stafford. You know what happened? The Rams always wanted to keep Stafford, but Stafford wasn't happy with his contract. You know, he's one of those guys, Stafford, that always, he's not happy with his contract. I don't know if I want to keep playing. I want more money. I want more this. I want more that. And so the Rams finally said, okay, the hell with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to talk to another team, talk to another team. You know, they never wanted to give him up, but go see if you can get tons more than we're going to pay you. And so, you know, there was a time when the Giants felt this deal is done. We're getting them. Their financials were all arranged. It was a done deal, except that Stafford had to pull a plug on it and you know, tell the Rams, look, this is what I want. And he never did that. You know, he got to the fence and couldn't jump over the fence because he really didn't want to leave and his family didn't want to leave. So, you know, that kind of told him, okay, this is what my market value is. But yes, there was a week or so there where the Giants said, we got him. He's going to be our quarterback.
Well, dude, what's funny is I was hearing from football people this thing could really happen. And my wife, who follows Matt Stafford's wife on Instagram, was like, dude, they're not leaving L.A. They love life in Southern California. They're not moving to the East Coast. They're not moving to New York. And my wife was proven correct. That Instagram sourcing is pretty accurate, I suppose, man. Paul, thank you for making time for us, dude. I really appreciate it. And so you know, as far as like the headline battles, the tabloid battles up there, I think you guys do such an awesome job, man. Like, New York Post headlines always make me laugh, and I love the tabloid stuff in the back pages. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we are a tabloid, and we like our headlines, so sometimes they're a little out there, but out there's better than boring, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody's got to buy it before they get on the subway, man. Thank you for the time.
Yep. Okay, take care. Thank you.
All right, Paul Schwartz from the New York Post covers the Giants, does a great job with it. At New York Post _ Schwartz, SCHWARTZ. That was a fun one, man. I don't know how it's all going to shake out with the Giants. White Brian, give me a Giants win total real quick. I'm going to guess it's, what was it?
5.5.
Okay, I was going to say 6.5. I kind of like them over. I know they got a tough schedule. I think they win like 6 or 7. That's a really good defense. They just need decent quarterback play. I'm not sure they'll get it. I'm not sure Russ is any good. White Brian wants him to start Jameis. I'll be watching, though. We'll be watching Week 1. They open against the Burgundy and Gold. Before we go, got to tell you about the convenience and the comfort of Rood Systems. My Rood system is awesome. My house feels perfect. Humidity has dropped significantly, and I can check it right here, sitting in the prison cell studio. I can check the efficiency of my Rood system. Why? Because I got an app, and the app connects directly to the system. It's incredible. The Wi-Fi compatibility, I have full control of my heating and cooling system right from my phone. Seriously, look, if you're watching on the stream, I'm holding this up. That's my house right now. I can turn it up. I can turn it down. We have it auto set to never go below 69 or above 72. Landfill, pause. That's just part of it, though. Rood systems are whisper quiet. No more noisy interruptions, just peace of mind. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control like I got at my crib, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions. Its comfort and performance perfectly balanced. And you got to remember, you could save some serious cash. Federal tax credits up to 2 G's on heat pumps through 2032. Check out Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more. Most importantly, remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Ain't right. 1067 The Fan. We talked earlier in the program about the PGA Championship this weekend and what an exciting, you know, way it was to watch Scotty bring home the trophy this coming weekend, Memorial Day weekend, at Congressional in Bethesda. They're hosting the Senior PGA Championship, and Jason Epstein is director of golf out at Congressional getting ready for the big tournament. Ep, what's going on, man? How are you, buddy?
JP, all is good, man. Great to be with you. How are you?
I am good. Can you get everybody up to speed on the Senior PGA? Like, obviously, this is, I think it's 50 and over, right? And there's going to be some big names there and kind of what expectations are.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And what a couple weeks for the PGA of America to have Scotty kind of run away with it. I was out on the golf course earlier today talking to Rich Beam and Steve Stricker and a couple of the guys. But back-to-back weeks for the PGA, great for the game of golf, and Scotty's just unbelievable. So basically, the best way to put it is these are the guys that we all grew up watching and idolizing, and they all get to come back to Congressional for the Senior PGA. From you know, Chris DeMarco to Retief Goosen to Miguel Angel Jimenez, who is a great player. Angel Cabrera won just this last week. They actually finished up today.
Oh, wow.
Ernie Els, defending champ here at Congressional.
Is Els coming this weekend?
In 97. No, Els finished. He's playing. He's here. He's going to be here.
Wow. He's got a locker there.
David Duval. He's there. He's right next to you.
I know.
He can hang out with Ernie Els, literally. I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
I've heard Ernie likes to tip a few. He and I could probably hang out. Before we get
good.
To...
I mean, yeah, and it's... 156 players is going to be a great week.
It's going to be cool. And, I mean, the place looks fantastic, even just the pictures online. Before we get to who you think wins this weekend, I guess, what did you make of Scotty's resilience when John Rahm got that close early? I guess not early, about midway through the round when they were co-leaders. What did Scotty show you just as somebody who's a golf professional? Like, you know... That's how you make your living. It's so hard to do what Scottie Scheffler did in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable, right? He has to be nervous. It means so much. And you can see every time he's won anything how overwhelmed he gets. And that's just the emotions like we saw with Rory at the Masters. Like, it flows out, right? So it means so much. But he is like an assassin. And he's not going anywhere. Like, he is unbelievable. And I think from a young age, he just trusts himself. He trusts his swing, and he's so dialed in. And of all, like, we all in golf are taught to just focus on the shot that's at hand, focus on what's in front of you. And if you watch Scheffler play golf, like, that guy's never getting in front of himself. He's never getting ahead of himself. He's never beating himself up for old shots. And he is literally playing one shot at a time, and he is so committed. And as you know, the Tiger effect, right? Where everybody, as Tiger was playing golf, was just kind of fold, right? Tiger just played okay in his heyday. Nobody was beating him because they were so scared of him. And I think with Scheffler on the leaderboard, I think we all kind of say, oh, Scotty's there. Right. I guess he's going to win the tournament today because he has that bit of aura, that bit of charisma, that bit of ability to kind of just keep going and plodding along. And if I'm Rahm, I mean, Rahm had it going, and Rahm missed a couple short putts. And he knew Scotty wasn't going anywhere. And then he starts to press a little bit, see what happens there. And for the rest of the guys, I mean, it's an unbelievable tournament if Scotty Scheffler's not playing, right? We're in a playoff and everybody's right. coming down with a chance to win. But Scotty he's just so relentless and he's so good and there is no quit in him and he's just absolutely level. And so it's really fun to watch that.
Yeah, it was, he's just, dude, to me, and maybe this is stupid, but I think of Scheffler, if you remember the original Top Gun movie, the relationship between Maverick and Iceman, where Iceman just never made mistakes and was ice cold and just grinded you down, and whereas Maverick was all over the place and kind of nuts. And to me, that is Scotty and Rory. They're just like two different people that are excellent at what they do and have this unique relationship. But Scotty's just so damn impressive. I feel like we're just at a great time for professional golf. Even with all the live distractions and all the crazy stuff, the majors are so good because there are so many elite players kind of in the prime of their careers.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. And like Scheffler and Rory and those guys, I mean, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch Keegan Bradley play well, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, is he going to be the Ryder Cup captain? Is he going to be the first player captain since Arnie was? There's so much good around the game of golf. It is unfortunate that you don't have, I mean, look, I'm a PGA of America, a PGA Tour purist, and I love, you know, the live stuff is interesting to me to a point, but it is a shame that there's a lot of players on live that I don't think move the needle, but yeah. You know, you take Bryson Bryson is unbelievable off the charts. You take him, you take Brooks and a couple others. It's just a shame that week to week, we're not having those guys compete on the tour. Was great to see that Captain Bradley had a dinner a few nights ago at the PGA, and he for kind of guys that were on the cusp or probably going to make the team, and he did have Bryson there, he did have Brooks there, so that was really good to see.
All right, so let's switch it to this weekend. Richard Bland, defending champ. Who's coming in right form? It's crazy. You mentioned Steve Stricker. Wasn't he a former world number one? Like, there are a ton of serious names in this thing. I think it'll be... Imagine if Els is able to win a major as a senior after winning a U.S. Open there. Like, there's a lot of cool storylines here.
Yeah. I mean, and they've all... What's great is a lot of these players have, as you mentioned, Els, just history here at the club. And it's fun to watch them come back and take a look and see how much has changed here. For those of you that... haven't been to Congressional in the last 4 or 5 years for your listeners. I mean, the golf course has just been completely transformed, and it is an amazing, amazing work that Andrew Green did. You know, hard to say. I mean, so many great players on the tour. You got some guys like Stephen Auker, who no one's ever heard of, but's won everything on the senior tour. You've got Ernie's playing well. You've got Miguel Angel Cabrera Jimenez that won this week. You've got Stuart Sink, who's playing great. Stuart Sink, as you might know, JP Stuart Sink, actually John Scott Rattan, who grew up in the area, the DMV, and teaches right here at Congressional. He's Stuart Sink's teacher, so which is cool to have Sink here. So
well, he's got Homa now, too.
And Max played, you know, Max didn't have a great weekend, but Max, so he shot 29 on the front nine at Quail Hollow.
Dude, he shot, really what, he well shoot 64 so. That day? That's probably low round for the
Max
week.
Max was 7 under. Yeah. And Max played well at Augusta, and John Scott's completely transformed his golf swing. So you've got so many, but I would say, listen, Richard Bland shot 1 over at the PGA Champ this week on a golf course that's going to play 500-600 yards more than our golf course.
Wow.
Finished 1 over for the tournament, shot, you know, golf course playing really hard in the final round, shot 1 under. So he's on form. So there's a bunch of players that could take it here. I'd sink with my heart, but you know, Bland's playing some really good golf. So, you know, perhaps he defends.
Talking with our friend Jason Epstein, director of golf at Congressional Country Club. They're hosting the Senior PGA Championship this week. You know, it should be a lot of fun, especially in a pretty down time of the sports calendar locally anyway. But Ep, do you know what John Scott Rattan's biggest accomplishment to date is?
Was it getting you down from a 30 to like a 26?
Sorta. I had a lesson with him the week before I won my flight in the President's Cup. So, I mean, clearly
that's so good.
Direct correlation. All right. Jason, last thing for me, we have a young assistant producer on our program named Jeff. And Jeff will go anywhere where he gets a free ticket. How? What is the ticket situation to come out to Congressional this weekend?
There are lots of tickets available for Flex tickets. You just basically buy a ticket now, go online to PGA.com. You click on a ticket, boom, you buy a ticket, and they're Flex tickets. So you buy one ticket, and you can come any day you want. You can come Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. I think most of the hospitality, there might be a little bit of hospitality available, and they can contact me directly here at the club. I can kind of push them that way, but it's going great. I mean, it's really, these guys are very accessible, not big crowds.
Yeah.
They're kind of at a different stage of their career where they're still very competitive, but they kind of understand the value of kind of building relationships with the fans and so forth. So, and it's a great, I mean, look, JP, we're lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to come to Congressional each day. And it's just a beautiful walk. It's a beautiful piece of property. And there's a lot of nation's history here, not just with the game of golf, but with the OSS and celebrated our 100th year last year. And so it's critical, I think, Congressional to major sports and certainly all the major golf championships in the DMV. So if you've got an opportunity to come out and spend an afternoon here, we've got some food trucks on site, lots of refreshments, and it's a great way to spend a day, especially with the kiddos. Any kids, all get in for free. So
really?
Bring the family. Yeah, bring the family.
That's cool.
Anyone
that's a great
age,
way to do it,
gets
too.
In for free, yeah. So
That's smart.
Way to spend a couple days.
Well, I've also told Jeff he doesn't get to come out there until he can break 100. So, Jeff, this might be your only chance to get out there.
I'm going to break 100 in like a month.
Jeff, you need to have JP invite you out.
Not until he can break. Jeff, what'd you shoot at Lake Presidential on your last round?
59.
How does that sound?
You and Kim Jong-un. You and Kim Jong-un shot 59. What is that?
No, he means on 9.
I was going to say, that was on 9.
On 9. Okay. You got some work to do.
I have a lot of work to do. I'll be honest.
Jason,
but I'm good vibes, though.
Definitely good vibes. Jason, thank you, man. I'll see what I can do to find you a ticket, Jeffrey.
We can work it out. We can sort it out.
Thank you for the time, man. I hope this week goes great.
Dippy, thanks for the time, man.
All right, man.
Have a great day.
That's our friend, Jason Epstein, director of golf over at Congressional. If you're looking for something to do with the kids this weekend, I didn't even know that. Kids are free. Buy a ticket, take your two kids, get a hot dog, walk around, bang. That's a family afternoon, man. That's what life's all about. Killing radio segments, killing time with your family. Nobody go anywhere. We got to make some bets.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Yo, shout out to the Maryland Terrapins. Don't worry about the Terps, Landy. Guess what happened to the Terps this weekend?
They closed down 4 programs.
Nope.
Ah, damn.
Maryland beat Georgetown. I think it was at Navy Stadium in Annapolis. In Lax, Terps are headed to the Final Four yet again. Maryland men's lacrosse will play Syracuse on Saturday.
Georgetown was in the Elite 8 at something?
Yeah. Georgetown lacrosse used to be good. They've had a rough patch.
So did Georgetown basketball. It's just not the 80s anymore.
Georgetown lacrosse has been good much more recently than Georgetown basketball. Also, the Georgetown men's soccer program is quite good. Their coach lives around the corner from me, and they won a natty at some point recently. I got a Georgetown men's soccer national championship within the last 5 years. Look that up for me, White Brian. I think the other game is the other Final Four game, I believe, is Penn State versus Cornell. Well, I know it's Penn State because I recognize that logo, but they're playing someone with a big C logo. Do we think that's anybody but Cornell? College of Charleston? I don't know. Colorado?
That's an L.
Georgetown won in 2019.
Damn. Is that more than 5 years ago? Kind of not really. I didn't know Penn State was that good at lacrosse. They're going to the Final Four. You know that? That means Penn State's lacrosse team got further than Penn State's football team. Which is certainly the case for Maryland. What's up with the what's up with the women's Final Four? Why, Brian, you got anything for me on that? NCAA Women's Final Four Lacrosse. This is the time of year where we pay attention to lacrosse. I was at a lacrosse field all day yesterday. I know that. What do you got, White Brian? Hit me.
Looks like North Carolina, Florida, Boston College, and Northwestern.
Okay, so Terps didn't get through. We will have to book Landfill. We do it once a year. My boy Danny, Danny Gladding's annual Final Four lacrosse preview. We'll hit that on Friday. Also important to note, during our interview with Jason Epstein from Congressional, Jeff revealed that he shot a 59 on 9 holes. One of the text threads I have with my friends, somebody just texted me 59 LOL.
Tell him to see me.
His name's Andrew Rothenberg.
That sounds like he's good at golf, but I'm not scared to play him.
All right, let's make some bets. Or let's end the show. I'm cool either way. There's nothing to bet on. What is there to bet on tonight? Jeff, if you say some dark BS.
I was about to go to tennis.
Go for it. We need action. Lord knows we need action. How is there not a hockey or a basketball game tonight? What is wrong with these people? Is there NASCAR?
Seattle Storm to beat the Dallas Wings. That's what I'm taking.
What Red. Is... what? White Brian? Landy?
I'm going to parlay the Mets to beat the Red Sox, too, because bleep Boston.
I'm taking Lucas Neumeier in the French Open.
Dude, the Phillies are minus 250 against the Rockies. And most run lines in baseball are almost always 1.5. The Phillies run line, I'm taking the Phillies run line, -1.5 against the Rockies. Find out if the Rockies are that god-awful. Also, early running for Bleep You Thursday, bleep you to the Easy Pass people. I don't know what is going on. My Easy Pass isn't registering. I get these bills in the mail. They keep slapping me with an admin fee, which sucks. Then I have to email them and tell them to waive it. Say, no, jerk, I have Easy Pass. Get your ass together, Easy Pass. Sheesh. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Barry Svaluga. Thank you to Mark Zuckerman. Thank you to Paul Schwartz. Thank you to Jason Epstein. B. Mitch is back tomorrow, is the word on the street. Grant and Danny are up next now. If you made it this far, White Brian owes you some sleep.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us like, it just gave us a feeling.
a three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.